The Titans no longer undefeated. Steelers only remaining undefeated team left in the National Football League. And so the 72 Dolphins have one more team that they have to sweat out before they pop the champagne. Speaking of popping the champagne, this guy's always in the back of the club. He's got the champagne. He's got the bottles. He's got the models. He's got the jewelry. He's got the money to spend. He covers your Tennessee Titans for the Tennessee, and the great Eric Bacharach joining us on short notice this morning. Bro, how are you? Welcome.
Bro, all the love, bro.
Bro, how about that Jets game, bro? You want to talk about that? I mean, come on. Six field goals, bro? Are you kidding me?
Bro, I saw you at halftime, told you the Jets were winning, didn't know what happened until way after the early games ended, and, you know, I come back to my computer, same old Jets, bro.
Bro, same old Jets. Anyway, we're just a couple of, you know, suffering New York football fans. Anyway, all right, Steelers 27, Titans 24. And listen, I'm trying not to be wet blanket guy for a team that's 5-1, and I know this fan base is still excited about, and they should be, but, I mean, Eric, you and I know four of those five wins could have gone either way, right? The only rocking chair win was that Bills win, and this formula of just kind of lapsing on defense and waiting for the offense to come and bail you out, that had to come back to bite them at some point, no?
Yeah, you thought all along that this blueprint that they've had for winning, you know, at some point was going to catch up to them. And I mean, just the ironic part was, you know, for how abysmal that first half was yesterday, they probably should have been in a game in overtime and had a chance to win there. So, that being said, it goes back to the original point of playing this way was eventually going to catch up to them. And, you know, I think a couple of things happened yesterday. I think number one, that the Titans kind of were humbled a little bit, you know, had a chance to really see how they stacked up against the cream of the crop in the AFC. And then also I kind of think that nationally they didn't do a ton to sort of hurt all the hype that they've been generating. I mean, at the end of the game they were right there against the Steelers in that really stifling defense. So it was kind of you know, ironic in that regard, I think, but the problems with the defense, especially on third down, it's been this season-long thing that, you know, after every game we're asking the same questions and getting, you know, the same answers, and there just hasn't been a resolution there. And I think, you know, I really think a lot of it has to do with the pass rush. You know, I think the silver lining on the horizon for this team is Adoree Jackson. I think getting him back, you know, it's not going to solve all your problems, but I think, you know, plugging him in where Jonathan Joseph, Ty Smith have been lining up, I think that is something for sure to look forward to. Adoree was having a great year last year. So I think that's on the horizon. But, you know, bottom line is this defense is really holding this team back from beating, you know, the Steelers of the AFC and you know, really asserting itself, you know, atop the list of teams in the league. You know, so if you can correct that's something to me where if you're able to do that, you put yourself in that conversation for sure, and I think the Titans are there. But, you know, the defense has to improve, no doubt.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point, Eric. I think having Adoree Jackson will help. I don't know how drastically it'll help, but, you know, Jonathan Joseph and Ty Smith were definitely struggling yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at, you know, just where Ben Roethlisberger was throwing the ball, you know, sort of his spray chart, and it was all right at them, right at Jonathan Joseph, Ty Smith. You can't really blame him for doing that. That's the matchup to exploit.
Sure.
You know, so if you put Adoree in there, I think things improve. I think, you know, so much of the pass rush struggles are for sure on the Titans, but also, you know, Roethlisberger has a really quick release, and that played into it as well. You know, I think another big point is just the fact that you paid Vic Beasley, Jadeveon Clowney, all this money over the offseason as sort of, you know, the answer to this, you know, question of pass rush that's been sort of a liability for the Titans going on years now, and neither of those guys has sacks. And obviously, their job is more than just sacks, but to have zero between the two of them, you know, through six games is not what you want. So that's got to improve. I do think Adoree Jackson is a good candidate to come back for Cincinnati. I thought he might have a chance to come back, honestly, for this past game against the Steelers, just with the way things were going. But, you know, I understand sort of erring on the side of caution with a guy that hasn't played this season and only had 1 week of practice. So we'll see what happens this week, but something's got to change, JB, for sure.
Eric Bacharach is our guest. He covers the Titans for the Tennessean. And Eric, you know, listen, my flags went up, and you and I have talked about this both on and off the air. My flags went up when Mike Vrabel decided not to have a standalone defensive coordinator when Dean Pease retired. And I think that's had an adverse effect on this defense and ultimately this team. I mean, this whole, well, Shane Bowen and I are going to share it. Well, it's never really been made clear to me, maybe to you, like, who has the responsibilities for game calling and adjustment making on game day? You know, who draws up the defensive game plan for the week? Is it a joint effort? Is it one? Does Bowen do it and Vrabel approves it? This whole dynamic, it didn't sit right with me during the offseason. And, you know, right now, yes, they're 5-1, but this is not a championship defense right now as we speak.
Yeah, I agree with that about the defense. You know, as far as what they've kind of relayed to us in the media, it's been sort of needlessly complicated with you know, how vague they've been, how kind of you know, they just haven't been straightforward with explaining what exactly is happening as far as you know, who's running the show defensively. We know Bowen's calling the plays and all that, but as far as the dynamic and just that relationship between Bowen and Vrabel, you know, it's still very much not crystal clear. So, you know, I agree, and I think if you're going to do something like this, and the Titans couldn't have done anything about it, but if they were going to go into the season without a traditional defensive coordinator, picking an offseason that was, you know, by no means traditional, without OTAs, without mini camp, you know, with a limited training camp, with no preseason, all of that kind of really, you know, backfired as far as the Titans' plans with going into the season with, you know, kind of this, I guess you want to call him de facto defensive coordinator in Shane Bowen, who hadn't done it before. You know, he really didn't have a chance to try it out in preseason games. He didn't have, you know, OTAs, minicamp to sort of get things going. It was all virtual. So, you know, I think that compounded sort of the challenge the Titans were facing in not bringing in a traditional defensive coordinator. And, you know, it's hard to say exactly how much effect that's had, but, you know, I think at this point it's fair to look at that and think it might have something to do with it.
Looking at some of the stats here, we're talking with Eric Bacharach of the Tennessean. A.J. Brown, 6 catches, 153. Corey Davis, 6 catches, 35 yards. He had a touchdown, as did A.J. Brown. Alan Humphreys, 3 targets. I've been preaching this ever since he got here. They have got to target this guy more. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. This guy's supposed to be the slot machine, the chain mover. I mean, right. What have you seen? Are the matchups just not there? Or is Tannehill not seeing him, or you just don't think the plays are designed to get him the ball in space?
Well, I think it's kind of, you know, there is a lot to unpack there, I think.
I mean, his only catch, not to cut you off, Eric, his only catch was on a, you know, immaculate reception miracle catch off a, went off like 7 guys, and he happened to be there. That's his only catch of the game.
Brilliant play call by Arthur Smith. That ball
works every time, just how they drew it up.
You know, I think it's interesting with the Titans because, you know, through the first 5 games of the season that they had a different guy leading them in receiving yardage every game, and I think that's kind of the way this offense is set up. I mean, you've got A.J. Brown as the top guy, but after him, you know, we know Tannehill likes to spread it around. That being said, I really thought that this was a matchup where, you know, not only Adam Humphreys but Jonnu Smith, over the middle, those two guys were going to have, you know, really productive days. Neither of them really showed up on the stat sheet at all, as you kind of alluded to. So, you know, it's curious. Humphreys has had a better start to the year this year than he did last year. You know, he was injured last year. That played a part of it. And he missed, you know, some time because of the COVID test. But, you know, I think it's a situation where the Titans just have a bunch of guys that they go to. And I think they got to, for sure, not have days where Adam Humphreys just totally disappears. I think that's in part a testament to the Steelers' defense and kind of just taking what the defense gives you, especially one of the caliber of the Steelers, just with how good they are. But I do think, you know, spreading the ball around, there are going to be days where, you know, not everybody is as involved as you want them to be. You know, and it is kind of hard to fault this offense with how good it's been. even yesterday, you know, the first half was abysmal, you know, in all three phases. But second half, you know, it started to come alive as the defense began to play better. You know, so I would expect Humphreys to get more involved going forward. But I agree. I was surprised that him and Jonnu Smith were not more a part of the game plan yesterday.
Now, of course, you give the Titans credit for coming back. They were down by 20 at one point. They cut the deficit to 3. The defense played a little bit better in the second half, got some turnovers. And by the way, based on that second half, I'm not ready to crown the Pittsburgh Steelers yet, even though they're 6-0.
Sure.
I still think it's the Chiefs and everybody else in the AFC. But we'll see, you know, how that turns out. But again, you know, you look at the problems defensively and special teams. They give up a long punt return. And, you know, as good as Brett Kern is, and I think he's the best punter in the world right now, you know, this whole there is something to say about outkicking your coverage, and that's what set up that long punt return. The last thing you want to do is give, you know, that Steeler offense a short field, right?
Yeah, and those mistakes to me, JB, were uncharacteristic because, you know, you've had to this point some really good downfield play, you know, from Chris Milton. You know, Darren Bates had been pretty good when he's been active on game day. So, you know, I think they played well on special teams, you know, kicking aside, you know, when it comes to returning, defending returns. But yesterday was absolutely that was not the case. You know, from the hold on Bates on the opening kickoff, you know, to the muffed kickoff return by Khalif Raymond, which sort of pitted the Titans deep,
right,
on their first or their last possession of this the first half, and that's something that, you know, he's been doing this now for 2 years. That's something, you know, I can't recall him ever doing. Really, he's got some really short hands, and then obviously that long return on the punt, which we haven't seen a whole lot of as far as what the Titans have allowed this season. So, you know, I think those were uncharacteristic, and then you couple those sort of unfamiliar mistakes with the familiar mistakes that we've seen way too much of, which is the third down defensive struggles, and obviously the kicking struggles with Gostkowski, and that really made it a recipe for disaster for the Titans. And it's, to me, it's kind of a miracle that they were there at the end to begin with, just given how many mistakes they made throughout that game and sort of what they did to shoot themselves in the foot against a team like the Steelers that, you know, you don't really have to do that to put yourself in a bad spot. They're good enough on their own to beat you. So, you know, I think that is a testament to their sort of resilience, but that there's so much to clean up from yesterday. But I do think there's, you know, an encouraging sentiment to take out of it just with how close they made it at the end.
Sure.
And the fact that they were right there.
Yeah, just, you know, that last drive, Charlie and I were talking about in the first segment, you know, they had the ball at the 25-yard line. I'm thinking, all right, they're going to, field goal is a gimme at this point, but they're going to score and win this game and get out of here with another escape win. But then you have those two back-to-back passes to Henry behind the line of scrimmage. I didn't understand that. And obviously that intentional grounding call at the end, you know, was a killer, and it made life harder for Gostkowski. But still, he's got to make that kick. I mean, this guy's a veteran kicker. It's 45 yards. What'd you see on that? Did he just not hit it right, or what'd you see on that final kick?
So Gostkowski said that he hit it straight, and then it faded right, and then obviously it missed right. It sailed right at the end. But, you know, just watching it, maybe it started straight for the first like couple of yards, but it looked like it was going right from the start. And as you said, the Titans didn't really help them, especially that intentional grounding. That was really a killer there at the end.
See, I thought that might be offsetting. I thought it might be roughing the quarterback and intentional grounding. I mean, let's do a do-over.
For sure. Tannehill certainly took a big hit at the end of that play.
And stuff onto it, right?
Was it yeah. And, you know, I thought it could have gone either way, just rewatching that. But that was a killer. That, you know, it you lose it down. There's a 10-second runoff. Obviously, the loss of yardage. It was an absolute killer in that situation. Really ended, you know, the thought of a touchdown realistically, probably. And at that point, you're probably just looking for, you should probably be looking for, you know, just yardage to help Gostkowski on that kick. But, you know, he missed it pretty well. You know, like I said, it might have started straight for a second there, but it really did look like it was going right. And now Gostkowski is 10 for 16 on the season. He's been totally streaky, obviously missed the first three kicks of his Titans career in the open air in Denver. Then he made 9 straight. Then he missed 2 last week against the Texans before going 1-for-2 yesterday. So, yeah, it's an interesting situation as far as what they do with him. I mean, I think they probably just stand pat because, you know, I don't know who else is out there to replace a guy like him. And, you know, he has delivered prior to yesterday for all his sort of ups and downs. He had delivered
right
in the clutch when they needed him. He had the 3-game winning kicks in the 3 opening weeks. You know, even though he missed 2 kicks against the Texans, he did hit that extra point to send it into overtime with the pressure sort of on. So, mm-hmm. you know, for as up and down as he's been, he had been good in the clutch moments prior to yesterday. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, similar to their third down struggles, the Titans just, for whatever reason, they can't get it right with kicking field goals, you know, dating back to last year.
Right.
So it's going to just be something to monitor, and I think it's something the Titans are just going to have to deal with and sort of trust this Hall of Fame leg that they have that very clearly isn't, you know, the Hall of Fame player that he once was.
All right, as someone once said, Eric, it's on to Cincinnati.
Yep.
I appreciate you coming on, brother. Thanks so much, bro. All the love.
All of it, bro. Thanks, JB.
All right.